بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين الذين ذهب الله عنهم رجسا وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
أما بعد، قال الله الحكيم في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: فسبحان الذي بيده ملكوت كل شيء وإليه ترجعون. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Tonight begins this chain of light that for 1400 years we've not allowed to extinguish. 1400 years it's been that from Karbala to today, a light has been passed down from generation to generation. From Karbala, as we head towards Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Though again, because of COVID, there are restrictions in place. The UK is open, the United States is open, but unfortunately travel across the world is still problematic. Though we have this issue, and though there is this problem, you'll notice that the minute the moon of Muharram comes, the hearts of the believer changes. There's an intensity in the heart of the believer that only increases as these nights go on. This night is such that you see such a change in every household. It's tonight that you find mothers are dressing their small children up if they've got babies. If they've got older children, you'll see the way that an old mother looks at her son, the way that a father looks at his daughter. What is beginning tonight and where it's going to end, you will know. You're going to go home tonight, and when you see your son or you see your daughter, it'll give you peace of heart. But know that those people who started on tonight 1400 years ago didn't finish 10 days later. Tonight begins a night of movement. Tonight is a night of ishq. Tonight is a night when you look at people, you see tears in their eyes. These tears are important because this entire journey is a journey of tears. Today you can't hold people back, you can't compose yourself. And you know why? Because there's a special lutf on you, there's a special karam on you. There's only some people who can cry. And so tonight, it's time to focus, and it's time to go on this journey. Because this is that journey of ishq that Sayyidul Shuhada is calling you. You know what else tonight? Look, you'll see that when you go to any house, regardless of what day it is, what time it is, however old your mother gets, if a son falls over or is in pain anywhere in the world, you'll see that mother moves very fast to make sure that her son is okay. You know, tonight, ulama have said that on this night, when the moon of Muharram comes, an old mother from Medina gets up and she comes towards Karbala. Why? My heart tells me for the very reason that she can see that her son's body has been broken. Maybe she says, Hussein, don't worry, son. If you can't come, let me come to you. 1400 years and it still doesn't change. She moves from Medina, she goes towards Karbala. And those people who have been, you notice the intensity in your heart increases as the day of Ashura comes. As the day of Ashura befalls you, what do you see? You see that your heart's about to break. You can't contain yourself. You know why? Because your 12th Imam can't contain himself. Shall I give you a hadith? Let me tell you something. Your 8th Imam, alayhi salam, the reason why we're here today is because of his 4 years. 4 years before his death is that he spread this azah far and wide. Yes, say the Zainab led the foundations. But it was your 8th Imam who made sure that every household in the world commemorates, every Shia household in the world commemorates, say the Shuhada. He says to one of his companions, as one of his companions looks towards him, he says, Mola, you look sad today. He goes, don't you know what today is? He says, what is it? He says, tonight begins the night of Muharram. He says, know something. My father, Imam Musa ibn Ja'far, he says, my father, you could see that he never smiled from the minute that moon came out. And every single day that passed, you could feel that his wujud was becoming denser and denser, and the grief was increasing and increasing. Until the day of Ashura comes, where it's like Qiyamah. Look, we're going on this journey, so therefore it's important to set this journey. Tonight is a night of gharib. Tonight is a night of those people who are yatim. If you've lost your mother, tonight is that night. If you've lost your father, tonight is that night. If you're far away from your home, tonight is that night. If you feel lonely in a crowd of people, tonight is that night. Tonight is the night of all of those people. Why? Because tonight is the night of the brokenhearted. Let me give you another tradition. They say over 5,000 years ago, Allah ordered a prophet to go to Mecca. When he went to Mecca with his son, you know what he did? He makes the foundations of the Kaaba. After completing making the Kaaba, after that Allah gives him a hukum. He says, go and call all of the people to Hajj. So there a dialogue takes place. He says, but Allah, I'm going to call the people. How far is my voice going to get to? Allah says, call them. Ibrahim stood there where today Maqam Ibrahim is. And he called the whole world to come towards Hajj. Tradition says Allah made sure this voice was projected. Everyone in the world heard. But it wasn't just the world which is dahir in front of you. In Alam Mithaq, in Alam Dar, this voice spread. That for every single soul who said Labbaik, that person will go to Hajj. That call is still there to this day. That call is there. That every single person, every soul who said Labbaik will go at least once in their life for Hajj. Now that doesn't mean that if a person doesn't go to Hajj, they're a bad person. It just means that tawfiq isn't there. But know something. Thousands of years later, a same man was standing there. This time, the time was Asr time. And this time, that man had no son. He had no Ismail because he'd given Ismail. And as he stood there alone, your Gharib Hussein, your Madhloom Hussein, your Adshan Hussein, he looks up and he says something. The same way that Ibrahim called, he called as well. And he said something. He said, Hal min Nasir yansurni? Is there anyone to help me? Is there anyone to help protect the haram of the Prophet? He made a call there. They say in the same way, there were people until the day of judgment. Hussein wasn't making that call for just those people who were there. Hadith says angels came down. Sayyidul Shuhada says, this is not for you, go. Tradition says jinns came. He says, this call is not for you. Why? Because jinns again have an obligation to go to Hujjatullah. He says, this is for the people. Imam Hussein made that call. Until the day of judgment, there were people who answered that call and will continue to answer that call. You know what the first sign of that person is? Is that when that call brings a person to tears. Because there's two types of tears. One type comes from emotion. Now, if that's the case, sometimes you see that even in the army of Yazid, the hadith says some people cried. But then there's a tear, that type of tear, that changes the heart, that brings a change to the heart, pulls you towards Hussein. But those people who said labbaik there, at least once in their life, they will go to Karbala. At least once in their life. If you've not been, don't worry. These are the nights where you call on Hussein. If Hussein grabs you by the hand, he doesn't let you go. He's not like people in this world. When they promise something, they don't fulfill it. Why? Because those people are fallible. Hussein is infallible. Hussein's heart is such. His heart is such because his mother is Zahra. When he grabs a hand and he takes a hand, he takes you far. He doesn't let go. Tonight we're here because we want Hussein to grab our hand. Look, it's not a bad thing to cry. All of you've got tears in your eyes. Why? Because the dhikr of Hussein has begun. This caravan of Hussein is moving. But look, cry. And don't worry about anyone next to you. Cry, because this is the place where Hajjat is fulfilled. Cry for one reason. And that reason is the asal maqsad of the 10 days of Muharram. When the sixth Imam was asked, you've heard this from me before. When the sixth Imam was asked, why do you cry for? Imam replied, he just said one thing. He says, as Ahlul Bayt, we cry for one reason. And that reason is to gladden the heart of Fatima al-Zahra. Zahra, if only we were in Karbala. I know that these Shias who are sitting across here, across the world, sitting today within Chicago, I know they would be standing there, putting their chest in front of those arrows. You know what the most important thing is? The most important thing comes down to intention. It depends what your intention is that takes you to Karbala. Look, we'll discuss this as these nights go on. What type of an intention does Imam Hussein want? Focus upon changing your own heart. Forget about everything else. World will come and go. Sometimes you notice that even the deen becomes a distraction from the asl. The asl is Karbala. Asl is Hussein. No, Hussein takes you to Allah. Asl is Allah. Make sure your heart moves towards that maqam. Make sure your heart moves towards Allah. Hussein takes you the fastest. Why? Why is this dhikr remembered when everything else stops? Look, let me tell you something. There's two types of dhikrs. One is this dhikr that you have where you take your tasbih out. Allah, Allah. Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah. But there's another dhikr, and that dhikr is dhikr amali. Is when a person practically moves in a direction. The best form of dhikr, therefore, that you can have is those tears that you shed for Imam Hussein. And we'll come onto the philosophy of why. But I want to tell you something. I want to tell you why Hussein is so lofty. I want to tell you why. Because remember, Hussein's patience is something that nobody else has ever seen before. Go to the Quran and see. Why does Allah make this faith blessed? And this Ummah of Hussein blessed, the answers in the Quran. You find one person for 40 years is patient. And not only patient. You know when trial and tribulation befalls people? You've noticed it in your life. Trial and tribulation. Some people turn towards kufr. Allah, why? Why me? Why has this happened? Some people reject Allah in the time of need. People turn to kufr. People begin to mourn over themselves. People begin to cry over their own selves. Though Imam Hussein has told you, and he said, listen, hadith is there, fourth Imam. Whenever you feel saddened, whenever you feel that there's financial loss in your life, whenever you feel that there's an issue in your family, whenever you find that your health is not good, whenever you feel isolated, don't feel sorry for yourself. If you want to cry, cry over Hussein. If you want to cry, make that intention and cry. You'll see that not only does your heart become munawwar, but slowly and surely, you find Allah finds a pathway. So what does the Quran say? 40 years, a man was patient. Not only was he patient, but he was grateful as well, thankful. Who was that person? Yusuf. What do you find with Yusuf? Captivity in a well. Still he praised Allah. That Yusuf was taken. He was put into a prison. You know the story. Again, what happens? He's grateful. Became a slave within a palace. Grateful. 40 years. Not only was he grateful, not only did he give thanks to Allah, not only did he praise Allah, but he was patient. Because of that, what does the Quran say? Rahama bihi ummatan. Because of his patience, Allah showered his mercy upon the entire nation. That Ya'qub, which was also mourning the loss of a son, just because of the shirt of Yusuf, his eyesight came back. Those brothers who wanted to kill their brother, because of Yusuf, they gained the tawfiq to do repentance. Because of that Yusuf, Misr, if you look at Egypt, what was happening in Egypt at the time? Projected famine. What happens? Because of Yusuf, things were saved. One man's patience for 40 years. Now come and see. What is Sayyid al-Shuhada? Look at Sayyid al-Shuhada's patience. So much patience that this entire nation is blessed. That whenever somebody wants to cry over Hussein, what happens? Hal of the mushkilat, everything is found on that door. Where are you moving towards, therefore, on these nights? Move towards Hussein. Look, no one period of time stays the same. Above and beyond even your mushkilat is if you can gain that connection with Ahlul Bayt. That is what everything is about, nothing else, believe me. The answers in the Quran. I want you to go and look at the Quran. What do you recite? What do you recite? Verse 33, right? What does it say? Innama yuridullahu liyuthhiba ankum rijsa ahli albayti wa yutahhirukum tathira. What are we translated as? That Allah intends to remove impurity from Ahlul Bayt, give them a thorough purification and so forth. Look at the first word, innama. What does that mean here? Allah only wishes to make Ahlul Bayt pure, nobody else. Do we have no one else's ma'soom? Yes, we do. 124,000 prophets. Abul Fadl al-Abbas, according to our belief. Sayyidah Zainab. The Imam Zad is this children of the Imam, for argument's sake, who never committed a sin. That may be the case, but through the wasil of these 14. Innama, Allah only wanted first and foremost to purify these 14. And before that, those five, that light. And from that light, from the wasil of that light, everyone is purified. Therefore, what does that tell you? Taharat al-qalb, purification of the heart, can only be achieved from their wasila, if you were to grab onto them. And these nights are about grabbing onto them, so that you can make that journey. Once the heart is pure, you find bughd is removed from the heart. You find ego goes away from the heart. You find anger goes away from the heart. Look, on a daily basis, don't you suffer from all of this? We all suffer from it. Somebody says something to you, get offended. Somebody speaks about another person, you haven't seen it. They may say something, they may have interpreted it wrong. What happens? You get offended. Every time you're getting, who are you to get offended? What's getting offended? Your ego's getting offended. Otherwise, in alam al-zahir, there's nothing that's happened. Nor has your maqam diminished in any way. Nor has your health diminishes because of your ego. Nothing changes in this world. You don't ever find animals complaining. Human beings complain. And we fall into all of this. And you can't diagnose it. And it's difficult. And Allah knows you. He forgives you. You know why? He's merciful. But He gives you a way of removing it. Remember this. All of that which you have in your heart only causes you suffering, doesn't cause the other person any suffering. All that negativity which you may harbor causes you suffering. It doesn't change anybody else in any way. In fact, doesn't even change your situation. But what does Allah do? He softens your heart in these 10 nights. Wal-fajr, wal-layalin ashr. These are those 10 nights that Allah softens your heart. Ka'annahu, it looks as if you've come out, you've just been reborn again. You have an opportunity to cry over Hussein. No, to cry over your sins. Call upon Allah. Allah's door is open. Allah's door is open tonight. Allah's merciful. If He loves you more than your mother loves you, can some of you remember after a long time when you'd go and visit your mothers in your homes? Old mother would be their son. Always mothers always ask, "You don't call me enough." "But mother, I was busy." That "you don't call me enough" has pain behind it, right? Otherwise, if you read it in a book, it doesn't make any sense. But when you hear it from the voice of your mother, there's a lot of pain that comes there. That's not because your mother dislikes you. It's because your mother loves you. Now go to Allah and see, what does He say? "Wasn't I your good Lord?" If only you could hear the voice of God. God is merciful. Very much so. Okay, God doesn't have emotions. But He's put some of His emotions in a mother. That when a mother feels it, and if Allah loves you 70 times or 70,000 times more than that, if on this world you ever want to see somebody love you more than your mother, look at the master of your times. Look at your Imam. Why does Imam Hussein now, coming back to the point, why does Imam Hussein Hal min Nasir? Imam doesn't need your help. You need the Imam's help. Imam doesn't need you. You need Imam. Go back to the Quran and see, what does Allah say? He says, "Give me qarz, give me a loan. I'll give you double." Allah doesn't need a loan, He's ghani. Allah says, "Help me. I'll help you." Allah doesn't need your help. You know why He calls you like this? He calls you like this because in adabiyat, these are the words of mercy. He wants to grab your hand. He wants to give barakah in your rizq. He wants to give barakah in your life. This is why Hussein says, "Hal min Nasir?" Is there anyone to help me? No, Hussein doesn't need your help. Hussein is reminding you, you need my help. Come towards me. Become hur. Two people in Karbala who came, look at and see. Both of whom were really far away from Imam Hussein. Zuhair was one. Who was the other one? Zuhair was one. Other one was hur. They come towards Imam Hussein. What does Imam Hussein do? Takes him by the hand, takes him to Jannah. Look, if you look tonight, every single person would say, who's hur at this moment in time? 110% you'd say hur is going to hell. Up to the ninth night, you'd say hur is going to hell. What did Imam Hussein do? Grabbed his hand. What happens? On that day, when hur gives his life, and as he's lying there, and blood is going into his eyes, and he sees a man coming, and he's thinking that this man's going to split my head open. What happens? This man comes, lifts up Hur's head, puts it on his knee, puts his hand in his pocket, takes out a handkerchief, ties it around Hur's head. What does he say? He says, "Hur, this is the handkerchief of my mother." If only you knew what this meant. Yesterday, he was willing to kill Hussein. Today, Hussein is tying that thing which is the most precious belonging that he has around the head of Hur. Look at how merciful Imam is. Honestly, none of us in this entire majlis from one continent to another has that kind of mercy. Sakina becomes a yatima because of Hur. Sayyidah Zainab's arms are tied because of Hur. Ali Akbar's chest rips open because of horror, effectively because of horror. Ali Asr's small neck from ear to ear is pierced because of horror. Qasim's body is ripped into pieces because of horror. After all of this, when horror comes towards Sayyid al-Shuhada repentant, what does Hussein do? Does he say, go away? He doesn't do that. He opens his arms. He says, horror, come to me. Tonight, believe me, one broken body of voice is coming. My Shia, come to me. Move to me, come to me. This is what tonight is. Each one of you on your separate journeys. These 10 nights as we begin to go, as we go into motion, know that each one is on a journey. How do you know that this is accepted? When you see change inside of your own self. Work towards change. Make this count. Make this Muharram such that after Ashura, you see something different inside of you. There's a lot to talk about. I'm just setting the groundwork so that we can go into a very deep discussion as these nights go. We'll look at the haqiqah of what Sayyid al-Shuhada's heart is. We'll look at the haqiqah of what ziyara means. We'll look at what salawat is. We'll look at what salam is. Look. We'll look at the asrar of, effectively the asrar that the imam have given you to take you on a journey. But just remember, if Sayyid al-Shuhada's words are so powerful, imagine what the man himself is. Look, can I break it down just into a couple of points so that you can understand? Why does dua get answered in these 10 nights? Zaman and makan. What is the zaman? What is this time? This time, 10 days of Muharram. Makan, majlis of Sayyid al-Shuhada. The minute that we made the intention to come into this majlis, if you think you came by yourself, it's not the case. Some power pulls you towards her because they love you, that's why. Last year, you didn't let the majlis of Imam Hussein stop. We were in COVID, we were in lockdown, we still mourned. Every house, Shia house across the world became black. And the purpose of that? To remember this. To this day, you haven't let it go. Today, when some of us are gathered today, what have you done? You've not let this domino stop. The domino is falling. Why? There's a special risk which is given to you on these nights. That if this risk is missed, it doesn't come back again until the day of judgment. Every risk of every Muharram is different. And if it doesn't come to you now, it won't ever come to you until the day of judgment. Last year, you were able to make that connection, although you found that we were in lockdown. Still, people made their houses such. They mourned themselves. They cried themselves. They listened to the majlis online. What happened? They maintained this risk. Otherwise, Shiism wouldn't be where it is today. If even for 1 year, this risk is missed, you'll see that your life terminally falls down. Terminal decline comes into your life. This is why this risk is important. But there's a second thing that this majlis of Imam Hussein brings, and that is barakah. And inshallah, in those nights, coming nights, we'll look at what barakah means. We mention barakah a lot. How many people actually know what barakah is? Very few people. You've heard it from your parents and grandparents. They would talk about barakah, but nobody knows what it is. There's certain things about barakah that I'm going to look at, but not now. Zaman and makan is important, right? So now look and see. Understand Hussein from this. Forget the wujud of Hussein, just understand where he's buried. Kamil al-Ziyarat. Sheikh Mufid's teacher writes, he says that when Allah created the Kaaba, when he created that ground which was known as Bekka, later on became Mecca, he pulled the earth. And when he pulled the earth, they say the land of Mecca rejoiced. It looked up and it said, how great I am. As Carmel al-Ziyarat says, it says, another land at that time got up and he said, be quiet, I'm greater than you. He said, why? He says, because on my land, Hussein will be buried. Miracle of Hussein is this, that even the haq that Hussein fell on where his blood drops fell, that haq became shifa for all of the believers. That ground itself, that dirt itself, that no haq is allowed to be digested, ingested. But the haq of Karbala, not even Rasulullah's grave, not even the earth around the Kaaba. But Imam Hussein's grave, yes. Those people who have been to Karbala, especially on the day of Ashura, if you go to the museum, you'll see with your own eyes that from 9 o'clock to Asr time, if you go in that museum, you see that small pouch that's there. For those people who are going to Karbala for the day of Ashura, when you go there, you'll see there's a small container. In that there's some dirt from the grave of Imam Hussein, genuine. You'll see from the morning to the evening, that earth goes red. But it doesn't just go red. Blood begins to come out. Blood begins to come out of there. It's as if blood is flowing. But remember one thing, for those people who have gone there, taking that dirt, gone back home, eventually what happens? That redness stops becoming red. Why? Because the barakah goes, we don't know how to keep it like that, keep that miracle. So remember, these nights, learn how to keep that miracle alive. Inshallah, maybe you may see by the day of Ashura, earth go red. There are people still around who have that. Perhaps when that day of Ashura comes, perhaps you may see it. I remember on the day of Ashura seeing with my own eyes as it went red to red to red until that moment comes where blood begins to flow. If you put your hand on it, your hand becomes red. And the scent of that is such you've never smelt it before. Haq of Imam Hussein is that powerful. The miracle lives on. We've been unable. Imagine if something like that was in the hands of somebody else. They would have propagated it across one end of the earth to the other. And today you realize that haq is in our hands. We're not taking advantage of it. One haq of Karbala is that powerful. Imagine. They say up to 2 kilometers. That shifa is up to 2. You know why? Because they say Sayyidul Shuhada's blood went as much as that distance. Wherever blood fell, that place became shifa for the... Honestly, imagine this. Hussein, in his pain, wherever his blood used to go, became shifa for the believers. Hussein didn't even leave you there. He made sure that even the smallest benefited you. But what else do you find? Ziyarah of Imam Hussein is also shifa. If you feel today that there's a hajjah that's not come true for you, from tonight start reciting Ziyarat al-Ashura for 10 nights. Now, many people come and they say, we recite Ziyarat al-Ashura. Recite it like this now. Recite it like this. Before the time of Dhuhr, make sure you complete it. Pick a time specific, mu'ayyan. 100 la'an, 100 salawat. Those 100 la'an and salawat are a key. I wish we had time to go into it. I'll tell you the secret behind that. And then after that, if you get time, recite Du'a al-Qama. Shall I tell you something? One of the greatest mystics of the 20th century was a person by the name of Allama Sayyid Musa Zarabadi. Ayatullah Behjet would say that this person is Sahib Karamat. Ayatullah Behjet praises very few people. Very few people. One of them he praised, Sayyid Musa Zarabadi. In the words of Allama Hafizyan, Meshadi, Allama Hafizyan died in 1980. One of the greatest people of Ulum al-Ghariba since the time of Sheikh Baha'i. Allama Hafizyan is that person. that had all the secrets of Ulum al-Ghariba. When he went to India, he was in India for 50 years. They say sadhus would come, perform miracles. And look, I don't want to go into Allama Hafiz Ziyan's life, because tonight is not the night. Hopefully later on we'll go into it. But as you know, within Shi'ism today, there are three schools of Irfan. One of that maktab of Irfan, which is still alive today, is Allama Hafiz Ziyan's, Sahib Karamat. To this day, I have friends, students, who Allama Hafiz Ziyan gave certain things to. One of them, for example, if you look at the Hirdh Jawad that people wear with the star, that was invented by Allama Hafiz Ziyan. Hirdh Jawad is tied on the arm. It's not in ring form. He made it into ring form. The real one, the real Hirdh Jawad, there's only one place in Qum that sells it. But that Hirdh Jawad, when Hafiz Ziyan made a number of rings, one of them is a friend of ours. He'll be listening. He's in Toronto. He's in his 70s. You can speak to him. He's alive. He was with Hafiz Ziyan in Bombay, then in Karachi, and then he's gone to Toronto. He'll tell you. He wears a ring. I remember the first time I met him, I looked at his ring. I said, that ring is made by Hafiz Ziyan. He said, how do you know? The real Hirdh Jawad is such that none of your enemies can ever overcome you, nor can black magic be done upon you. And anywhere you go, the doors open. Hafiz Ziyan made one. He made multiple different things for multiple different people. I don't have time to go into it. We're not here to talk about the stories of ulama yet. Hafiz Ziyan was about 7 or 8 years old when his father took him to Ayatollah Noqodek Isfahani. You know, those of you who are from Mashhad, or at least from Iran, you know Noqodek Isfahani, how his du'as are mujarrab. Noqodeki himself says when Hafiz Ziyan was 15, I've taught you everything. I don't have anything more to teach you. That Hafiz Ziyan was thinking he'd completed everything when Sheikh Mujtaba Qazwini comes to him and says, listen, let me take you to my teacher. He says, where do you want to take me? He says, let's go to Qazwin. Takes him by the hand, takes him to Qazwin. When he took him to Qazwin, as he was passing a particular place where an Imam Zada was buried, he could smell the fragrance of the 8th Imam. When he comes into the room, he sees Hafiz Ziyan sees Sayyid Musa Zarabadi. He says, I can smell the scent. Did the 8th Imam pass it? Allama says, yes. Allama Sayyid Musa Zarabadi. Hafiz Ziyan writes, he says that when I looked at Allama Sayyid Musa Zarabadi, I felt like a drop in front of an ocean. Having completed all of this, when I saw this man, I felt like a drop in front of an ocean. Sayyid Musa was an ocean. Sayyid Musa's that person. Now that we're on it, let me give you a story. I wasn't going to mention this, but I'll give it to you anyway. He used to lead prayers in Qazwin. In that place, there was a person. He came to him. He must have been in his 70s. He said, Sayyid, I have a desire. I've never been to Iraq. I've never been to do ziyarah. I'd like to go. Pray for me that one day I can make it. I'm coming to the end of my life. Sayyid Musa says, he says, at Fajr time, come. Come here when I lead the prayers. And then after that, wait for me. He says, I waited. Sayyid Musa recited his prayers, finished his prayers, did a special dhikr and supplication. And then he got up. He says, Uncle, let's go. He says, where? He says, where did you want to go? He said, Najaf and Karbala. He says, close your eyes. Recite salawat. Grabbed his hand. Within, says, open your eyes. What did he see? Bayt al-Haramain. Let's go to Abbas. Goes to Abbas. Seeks permission. Goes to Hussein, comes out. He's dazed, he can't believe it. He says, close your eyes again. Closed his eyes. Where does he end up? Najaf. Closed his eyes again. Where was it? Masjid again. He looks up and he says, I forgot something. Why didn't we go to Qadhimiyya? He says, you didn't ask to go to Qadhimiyya. That's Sayyid Musa Zarabadi. Two people come to Sayyid Musa Zarabadi. They say, we want Isma Adham. Sayyid Musa smiles. Why? Isma Adham is a hal. Remember that. It's not just a word that you recite. It's a state of being. Now coming to the point that I wanted to mention. And that point is this. Sayyid Musa Zarabadi says, if you want Isma Adham, I'm going to give you a formula. You do it, you'll get it. He says, what is it? He says, waqt mu'ayyan, find a time and begin to recite Ziyarat al-Ashura at that specific time in clean clothes, white clothing, specific place. Recite the Ziyarah before the time of Dhuhr. And every day make sure it's the same time. Both of these people went to do it. One of them fell short. The other one for 3 years back to back did it. On the third year, he sees in a mukashifa, between sleep and awake, Alam al-Ruya, he sees Sayyid al-Shuhada himself comes. And he says, you wanted Isma Adham? Here you have it. This is the power of Ziyarat al-Ashura. If only you understood when you recite. What do? As-salamu alaykum, as-salamu alaykum. Recite like a machine. Okay, even if you want to recite it like a machine, just for 1 second, close your eyes, from your heart say salam to Sayyid al-Shuhada. You yourself will see, I guarantee you, when you say as-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, your heart will move. And as your heart begins to move, tears will come in your eyes. Just tears coming in your eyes is your jawab. And it gets to a stage, believe me, I promise you, if you can keep this up, it gets to a stage where you hear yourself, wa alayka salam. You think it's not possible? Now that we're on this discussion, final thing I'm going to say is this. One of the great Maraja, who was an Arif as well, he says, I went from Iran and I went to Iraq. And when you get to the border, and then from there you cross the border. He says, as I was crossing the border, a farmer came to me. He goes, where are you going? The Sheikh, where are you going? He says, I'm going to Karbala. He says, why? He says, I'm going to give salam to Imam Hussein. He says, does Imam Hussein give a reply that you're going to go say salam to him? The Sheikh took a step back. Thought to himself, what's the story here? He goes, yes. I'm sure Imam Hussein must give a reply. He says, Sheikh, if you were to say salam now, would you get a reply? For a minute, the Sheikh stopped. The farmer turns around and says, will you? Sheikh put it back onto him quickly. He says, what do you think? He says, Sheikh, let me give salam. You heard the reply. He says, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. With all of his wujud, that Sheikh said, he said, when you hear in the ziyarat that every grain, every ounce of this world gives salam to Imam Hussein, he says, I could hear the reply of Sayyid al-Shuhada coming from the mountains, from the skies, from the earth, from the ground, from the stones. He says, my entire body shook. He said, now it's your turn, Sheikh. What does Sheikh do? Sheikh looks towards Karbala. He says, Mola, please keep my respect in front of this farmer. He looks up and he says, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sheikh replied, he said, look, the reply wasn't as powerful, but the reply did come. What does that mean? That means you don't need to be a great scholar. You just need the heart and the ability of the heart to connect. That's when you realize that your dua has been accepted. So look, these are those nights. And this is why we're making that motion. We need to be going into motion tonight. Our hearts need to be going in that direction. You'll see, I promise you, by the end of these 10 nights, you'll be a different person. That's what's required. So look, I'm going to slowly bring this discussion to an end. But as I bring it to an end, remember the asl. The fastest way of acceptance is what? Is those tears that you shed. I want to portray something to you. In 2 nights' time or so, the caravan of Imam Hussein is going to be going into Karbala. At this moment in time, if you were to look at that caravan which is moving to Karbala, you find that mothers still have their children. Rabab has Al-Yaskhar. Say, Layla has Al-Yakbar. Farah has Qasim. Sitting with Sayyidah Zainab is Aun and Muhammad. One man's heart is heavy. That heart is the heart of the Imam. You know, at every stage when Imam Hussein was going, they say he never forgot his mother. And you find in different places of the Maqatil literature that they would be crying over a woman that could be heard. When Imam Hussein was born and Rasulullah was holding the small baby, you've all heard the tradition. Rasulullah begins to cry. As he begins to cry, Zahra's heart can't take it anymore. She says, "Father, why do you cry for?" He replies, he says, "Jibreel has come to me and told me that this child of yours will be slaughtered on the plains of Karbala." Mother is mother, right? First thing she asks, she says, "Father, will you be there?" Reply comes, "No." Looks up and says, "Will Abul Hassan be there?" Reply comes, "No." Says, "Will Hassan be there?" "No." "Will I be there?" "No." She sits down and she begins to cry. She says, "Father, tell me, who's going to cry over my Gharib Hussein?" The reply comes, "Allah's going to create a nation who's going to cry over your Hussein." So at that moment, this Bibi asks, she says, "Father, what are you going to give that people who are going to cry, that nation?" Rasulullah replies, he says, "My Shafa is going to be for all of those people who cry over Hussein." She looks towards Amir al-Mu'mineen. She says, "Abul Hassan, what are you going to give them?" He says, "I'm Sahib Kawthar. I'll make sure that all of them are given water from Kawthar." Looks towards Hassan's son, "What are you going to give them?" Says that, "I am the Sayyid of those people of Jannah. I'm going to make sure that all of them go to Jannah." Finally, Zahra says something. She says, "Father, I will not go into Jannah until all of my Azadar of Hussein go into Jannah." Allah accept your tears. She didn't forget you even in an hour of difficulty. Can you believe it? That Zahra, pain that she held in her heart because of Sayyid al-Shuhada? They say that when Imam Hussein was in her womb, there were times at night time when she would wake up. She would wake up because a child would say to her in her womb, "Ya Ummi, Ana Adshan." "Mother, I'm thirsty." She would get up then running, drink water. After she would drink water, another voice would come, "Ya Ummi, Ana Madhloom." Again a voice would come, "Ya Ummi, Ana Ghareeb." She would hug her stomach. Why? That child is saying, "Mother, I'm lonely." Now remember this. When that broken-ribbed mother was lying there for the final time, and Amir al-Mu'mineen was there, and his tears were falling on the face of Zahra, and he held her head, And she says, Abul Hasan, I want to make a wasiya. And she begins to talk. The first thing she says was this. She says, if my Hussein after me is ever thirsty, she didn't forget Hussein there. And Hussein didn't forget his mother either. If I may say just one more thing, and that is this. They say that when Zahra was in Sajda for the final time, and the hukum was given to Umm Ayman, says, feed my two sons when they come. And both of them say, we've never eaten without our mother. Tradition says, two boys knew there was something wrong. Both of them got up and they ran in. As they ran in, one held the feet, the other one held the neck. One Hassan was crying. At this point, Hussein didn't say anything. Eventually, a time came where Sayyid al-Shuhada says, he says, mother, answer me. They say, well, Jesus, answer me. Mother didn't say anything. Again, he says, mother, answer me. Again, nothing comes. Final time, he says, mother, answer me. Otherwise, I'm going to cry. Time was Asr when Hussein said that. Time was Asr. Zahra answered him. But that Zahra says, son, you called me. It's Asr time. I answered you, son. Hussein, you called me. It's Asr time. I answered you. A time will come, Hussein, when it'll be Asr time. Hussein, you answer me as well. The nights of Muharram have begun. Final tradition. Hadith says, it says Rasulullah, when Sayyid al-Shuhada would come, one day he held Hussein, takes him into Masjid al-Nabawi, final thing, do your dua because dua becomes mustajab here. Says final thing is this, says he takes the small baby, begins to kiss him on the forehead, then kisses him on the lips, then kisses him on the neck, then kisses him on the chest. Ayatullah Ja'far Shushtari says, he says, the reason why did he kiss him on the forehead for? Why did he kiss him on the lips for? Why did he kiss him on the neck for? Why did he kiss him on the chest for? Let me tell you why. Maybe it was because of this. Day of Ashura comes. Hussein, they say, was on a horse. And as he was moving, tradition says, Hormala gets an arrow. When he fires, that arrow hits Imam Hussein on the forehead. Rasulullah was kissing there. Why was he kissing him on the lips for? Sheikh Ja'far says, the reason being is this, because Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad had a stick in his hand and he was hitting the lips of Hussein. Why did he kiss him on the neck? Because Shimr was coming. Why was he kissing him on the chest for? Because Hadith says, who says this? Imam al-Zaman says, nowhere else will you find it but in Ziyarat al-Nahya. Two people, horses trampled over their body when they were alive. You hear about Qasim, but nobody talks about Hussein. Sayyid al-Shuhada was alive, twice horses trampled, one in his lifetime, one after his lifetime. This is why Imam al-Zaman says, Salam on my Jad, whose right rib came out of his left side and left. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Matam-e Hussein.